Good afternoon and welcome to this very special service, a celebration of 50 years of the United Reformed Church. And we thank Barbara very much for leading our worship, preparing it and leading our worship. There will be a leaving offertory in aid of Norwich Open Christmas, I've got that title right, which is, they provide Christmas meals for people in Norwich who like to come together for a meal, so there's a basket as you leave. We are having tea afterwards, there's plenty of cake, plenty of sausage rolls, cups of tea, and that will be through the back there. There are some chairs and tables out, we can put more, that isn't a problem. And I've forgotten to welcome those on Zoom, we do have some on Zoom today, and I had another message, oh I know, right, I left my notes over there. If you cannot read the screens, we've just had these screens put in this week, so they're different from what we've had before. They are clearer. If you're in a position you can't see them, or if you can't do anything, I have some large print copies you can read of the hymns. We don't do orders of service here because of being eco. So, and thank you very much. And yeah, so that's what it'll look like. If you can't read that, then I have these copies here. Just raise your hand and I'll come and give it to you. I'm now going to... custom here is we light a candle for a minute just to settle down for worship, so we can prepare for worship. So I'll do that now and then... Barbara.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It is so lovely to see so many people from our different congregations. Our call to worship is based on Psalm 24, and you can see it on the screens if you would join in the words with heavy type. Everything belongs to the Lord God, the world and all living things. By God's grace, we stand in God's presence. Through Christ we are washed clean. Open wide the doors of your hearts again, that the King of glory may come in. Let us worship God Almighty, who is the King of glory. I've tried to choose hymns for this service which sort of cover the spectrum from 1972 to now, not necessarily in that order. And our first hymn this afternoon was also the opening hymn at the inaugural service in Westminster Abbey in 1972. Blessed City, Heavenly Salem.
Thank you.
lead our prayer of thanksgiving. Audrey's father, the Reverend Ron Bocking, was a member of the joint committee which worked on the uniting of the Congregational and Presbyterian churches. And on your way to tea, you might like to have a look at the little display that Audrey's put up. And there are various notes there from Ron that were made as the thing progressed.
Let's pray. Creator God, we praise you for your love and delight in your creation, thanking you for the generosity with which you bless us each day, for the world and all living things which you have created. We give glory to your name. God of the past, we thank you for the people who had the vision to see that two traditions of faith and worship could become one, for their determination and perseverance in overcoming long-held differences, and for their confidence that their work was but the first step in a greater union between denominations. God of the present, we thank you for URC congregations across the world who have breathed life into the church, day by day, year by year, living out your message of faith, hope and love for all. God of the future, we know that the hopes of 50 years ago have yet to be fulfilled. Help us to remain faithful to that vision and to continue to trust in your purpose for us. Save us from being content with small aims, small hopes, and small faith. Lead us onward and hold us on the kingdom road. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And let us now join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
On a sunny autumn morning, rather like today, October the 5th, 1972, a very important meeting took place at Westminster Central Hall in London. It was attended by 3,000 people, representing Presbyterian and Congregational churches across England and Wales, and they were there to take a final decision on bringing together their two denominations to become the United Reformed Church. The vote, which was the culmination of 9 years of discussion, debate and hard work, took 7 minutes and was unanimous. And it was followed, as you can imagine, by enthusiastic applause. The meeting went on to elect the Reverend John Huxtable, who had been Minister Secretary to the Congregational Church, as the first moderator of the URC, with the Reverend Arthur MacArthur, who had been General Secretary of the Presbyterian Church, as his deputy, and Arthur MacArthur went on to become moderator himself in due course. But the highlight of the day was the service which followed. It was held in Westminster Abbey, and it was attended not only by members of the newly formed URC, but also by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael Ramsay, and the head of the Catholic Church in England, Cardinal Heenan, as well as representatives of other denominations. And the event was considered important enough to be broadcast live on what was then the new BBC Two channel. So why all the fuss. And, literally, because the trumpeters of Nella Hall were there to sound a fanfare, a fanfare. Putting it very simply, the URC was the first union of two quite distinct Christian denominations since the Reformation in the 16th century. And perhaps most importantly, I think, it showed that combining two different traditions into one church was indeed possible. I think 50 years on, it's quite difficult to put ourselves back in what it was like then. But the 1960s had been a great time of hope and readiness for change. And one result of this was that there had been a great deal more dialogue between denominations. This was sort of ongoing. And I can remember when I was here as a student in the late 60s, and I belonged to the Methodist Society, that was the time when there were the great discussions about between Anglicans and Methodists. And I have to say that I can remember saying very publicly, if it was worth John Wesley being a Methodist then, it was worth it now. I've learned a lot since then. Sadly, the idea of an Anglican-Methodist unity was rejected by the Anglican Synod, General Synod, actually early in 1972. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael Ramsay, was very much in favour of union, and he was bitterly disappointed when it failed. And the result of that was that he insisted on being in Westminster for the meeting and for the service. And if you look at that display, you can see him processing in with Cardinal Heenan. He described it later as one of the most moving experiences of his life. And he expressed the hope that there would be more union to follow. Those who had worked so hard to set up the URC had a firm conviction that they were taking the first step towards bringing together a divided Christian church into one body. They felt they were responding to a call, and they were aware of God's blessing on their endeavours. Colin Evans, who reported on the day for Reform, which was the new magazine set up for the new church, and you can again see bits from that in that display. And this is what he wrote. We took part in history on October the 5th, witnessing the real beginning of Britain's ecumenical age, perhaps. At least one hopes it may turn out to be so, devoutly and impatiently. Reading the memories of that day in the 50th anniversary edition of Reform, it's difficult not to be swept up by the enthusiasm and joy expressed by so many. And you can read that for yourselves. We have a number of free copies on the table out there if you would like to take one. It really is well worth reading. But perhaps the last word should be given to two people who were overheard chatting at General Assembly the following year. It's gelling very well, isn't it? Yes, quite extraordinary. It's as if we'd known each other all our lives. So now we're going to hear our Old Testament reading, which is going to be read by Margot Benz, the Secretary of Trinity, which was formerly a Presbyterian church.
Our first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 12. And this passage was read at the inaugural service of the United Reformed Church in 1972. It was not because you were more numerous that any other people than the Lord set his heart on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all peoples. It was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath that he swore to your ancestors, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who maintains covenant loyalty with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and who repays in their own person those who reject him. He does not delay, but pays in their own person those who reject him. Therefore, observe diligently the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances that I am commanding you today. If you heed these ordinances by diligently observing them, the Lord your God will maintain with you the covenant loyalty that he swore to your ancestors.
Thank you, Margot. And that leads into our next hymn, Let There Be Love Shared Among Us. Now, because it's quite short, I thought we would sing it twice. And I thought we should have a section called Explaining the URC. So this is your chance to learn. I'm sure you will have realised that bringing together two very old church traditions was not easy. That unanimous vote makes it sound very easy. It wasn't. For one thing, each had a very different organisational structure. The Presbyterian Church had a more central organisation and an annual General Assembly, as well as elders, elected by each congregation and ordained in order to be part of the ministry of their local church. The Congregational Church was much less structured. It ran far more at the local level, and the most important thing was the church meeting, an essential place for discussion and decision-making. 50 years on, what were then differences are now a normal part of our church life. But one of the biggest choices facing those discussing union, as you can imagine, was what to call the new church. Any title or name would need to reflect historical condition, a tradition. And so the word Reformed was essential. We are very definitely Protestant. However, there were concerns about calling it just the Reformed Church, because if you shorten that, it becomes RC, and RC equals, you've guessed it. There was actually another reason, which was that there was a Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa, and that was associated with apartheid, so it was thought really, no, this isn't a good idea. The alternative was the United Church, and that was thought to be far too presumptuous given the size of the church at that stage. So United Reformed Church it was. That's what was adopted, and it was thought that it would only be a temporary name. It was not going to last that long because there would be more progress and more union, and then other names would be adopted. In 1981, the Churches of Christ joined the URC, followed by the Scottish Presbyterian Church in 2000. But here we are, 50 years on, and we're still the URC. So what do we now stand for? Well, brands and labels are very important these days. So how should we describe the URC brand? I think Audrey was slightly challenged, not quite asked that direct question this morning on Radio Norfolk, but it was veering in that direction. Well, my first port of call to answer that was the URC website. And this is what it says. The URC is a family of Christians who meet in local churches across England, Scotland and Wales as part of the worldwide family of Reformed churches, a group of more than 70 million Christians. God loves you. And as Christians, we do too. Regardless of who you are, your background, your family, your past, your present, or your future, we are in this church because we believe that God is alive and listening to us through prayer, guiding and speaking to us through the Bible, forgiving us for what we have done wrong, and waiting for us in heaven after we pass away. We believe that each and every one of us can find contentment through loving Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It goes on to say that we are a church which respects the individual. So we're not rigid in expressing our beliefs and embrace a wide variety of opinions. Our doors are open to everyone. I think that is very, very important. We are intercultural, and women have an equal role in church life. Now, by the end of this service, you may think that men should have an equal role in church life, because it's just the way it's worked out that it's going to be all ladies this afternoon. If you look at the pictures in the display, you'll see it was pretty well all men. Most importantly, we are still ecumenical in outlook. We're happy to worship alongside other church traditions, both locally and nationally. And of course, in Norwich, we have St. Peter's Jessop Road, which is a partnership with the Methodist Church. Although the momentum of 1972 has not made the progress that was hoped for, we still have an important part to play in wider Christian life. And that's what we'll be thinking about in the last part of our service. At the heart of the United Reformed Church is a statement of our nature, faith and order. It's always read when a minister is ordained and when a minister is inducted to a new pastorate. So some of you may remember it from those sort of occasions. And I thought it was appropriate that we should have it at the centre of our service this afternoon. So if you are able to stand, please do so. And I'm going to invite the Reverend Daphne Lloyd to lead us. And again, please join in the words in heavy print.
With the whole Christian Church, the United Reformed Church believes in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
The living God, the only God, ever to be praised.
The life of faith to which we are called is the Spirit's gift, continually received through the Word, the sacraments, and our Christian life together.
We acknowledge the gift and answer the call, giving thanks for the means of grace.
The highest authority for what we believe and do is God's word in the Bible, alive for his people today, through the help of the Spirit.
We respond to this word, whose servants we are, with all God's people through the years.
We accept with thanksgiving to God the witness to the Catholic faith in the Apostles' and Nicene Creeds. We acknowledge the declarations made in our own tradition by Congregationalists, Presbyterians, and Churches of Christ, in which they stated the faith and sought to make its implications clear.
Faith, alive and active, gifts of an eternal source, renewed for every generation.
We conduct our life together according to the basis of union, in which we give expression to our faith in forms which we believe contain the essential elements of the Church's life, both Catholic and Reformed. But we affirm our right and readiness, if the need arises, to change the basis of union and to make new statements of faith in ever new obedience to the living Christ.
Our crucified and risen Lord, who leads us in our faith and brings it to perfection.
Held together in the body of Christ through the freedom of the Spirit, we rejoice in the diversity of the Spirit's gifts and uphold the rights of personal conviction. For the sake of faith and fellowship, it shall be for the Church to decide where differences of conviction hurt our unity and peace.
We commit ourselves to speak the truth in love and grow together in the peace of Christ.
We believe that Christ gives his Church a government distinct from the government of the state. In things that affect obedience to God, the Church is not subordinate to the state, but must serve the Lord Jesus Christ, its only ruler and head. Civil authorities are called to serve God's will of justice and peace for all humankind, and to respect the rights of conscience and belief.
While we ourselves are servants in the world, as citizens of God's eternal kingdom.
We affirm our intention to go on praying and working with all our fellow Christians for the visible unity of the Church in the way Christ chooses, so that people and nations may be led to love and serve God and praise him more and more forever.
Source, guide and goal of all that is, to God be eternal glory. Amen.
We're going to sing our next hymn, which was chosen very much to reflect that statement of faith. In Christ alone, my hope is found. If you want to stay seated, because you've been standing a while, would that be helpful? Yes, we'll stay seated.
Thank you.
first sermon as moderator of General Assembly, preached at the service in Westminster Abbey, John Huxtable described the newly formed United Reformed Church as a pilgrim church. And we've heard that word pilgrim used again more recently, describing the thousands of people who queued for many hours to see our late Queen lying in state. Being a pilgrim is to set out on a journey, often with others, aiming to reach a final, usually holy, destination. The journey is expected to be long and difficult, and perhaps with adventures along the way. So it becomes an experience in itself, changing the pilgrim's spiritual outlook. And surely, 50 years on, we can indeed see ourselves as pilgrims. Though sadly, the destination hoped for in 1972 has still not been reached. It's easy to feel discouraged by that, with hopes and optimism remaining unfulfilled. But as Stephen Tompkins writes in his editorial in the 50th anniversary edition of Reform, the URC has simply had to pick itself up and instead discover what its contribution to the world needed to be. And as I read through Reform, I found several interesting answers, from which I have picked out three. The first is that the URC is a listening church. It doesn't push itself forward and demand to be heard, but instead listens to a world and society full of need, and it responds practically and prayerfully. Social justice is important to us, so we are here for people, and that means all people. Now, it's not often that I find the URC mentioned in the national media, and I was therefore quite chuffed to see it mentioned in The Guardian this week. And it was actually the URC in Basingstoke which was handing out bread and also hot soup and meals to people in need. Secondly, the URC is here to listen to the gospel, whether we hear it in worship or we look at it in group or private study. And then we reflect upon it and we learn from it so that we might put it into action. John Proctor, the former General Secretary of the URC, writes, "We try to live in a way that makes our faith visible and credible. We urge and encourage other people to do so too." And thirdly, we are still here to make a difference, to show what can be achieved. To quote Karen Campbell and Roberta Rominger, not only are we a drop in the ocean, or a tiny mustard seed, with the potential to achieve something way beyond our size, but God still does have a purpose for us, if only we will keep faith with him. So as we pause in this 50th anniversary year to ask ourselves, where next? I think we have to be honest and say, we do not know. But to still be confident that our journey continues and that God walks with us. And those thoughts are echoed in a poem by the Reverend Neil Thorogood, which was the winner of the poetry category in the 50th anniversary worship resources competition. Let them be as we are, one, we hear you say. Those treasured roots do not have to cling so tight. Always trust the star that guides us on the way. In this aching world, your dreams can be the prey, ignored, forgotten, fading out of sight. Let them be as we are, one, we hear you say. Set sail. Become an answer to what you pray. Risk open ocean where storms can reach their height. Always trust the star that guides us on our way. Sail on. Discern all the Spirit has in play. Set course by sacrament and word. Know what's right. Let them be as we are, one, we hear you say. Defensiveness, fear, might seem to rule the day. This is why our love, hope, faith must shine so bright. Always trust the star that guides us on the way. 50 years. Our life, always yours, come what may. Pilgrim servants sailing still, travelling light. Let them be as we are, one, we hear you say. Always trust the star that guides us on the way. Now we're going to hear our New Testament reading, which I chose because I think it contains some very good advice for what comes next. And it's going to be read by Claire Frostick, whose father, Sir Harold Banwell, was chairman of the Congregational Church in England and Wales and, like Ron Bocking, a member of the Joint Committee, which worked to bring the URC into being.
Our second reading is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
Thank you very much, Claire. Our next hymn is perhaps, I think, typical of the time when the URC was formed, or soon after anyway. One More Step Along the World I Go. our prayer of intercession. Let us pray. Living and loving God, our prayer is always that your kingdom will come. But we also know that your kingdom is here today, and that we are called to bring it alive to the world. We know that your kingdom is a kingdom of justice and mercy, and so we pray for the leaders of the nations, asking that they might rule fairly and with compassion, respecting the rights and needs of all their people. We pray especially for the situation in Ukraine, hoping that peace will prevail and further devastating conflict avoided. We know that your kingdom is a kingdom of love and unity, and so we pray for the church throughout the world, and particularly for the United Reformed Church, with the hope that its vision of greater Christian unity can one day be fulfilled. We know that your kingdom is a kingdom of hope and joy, and so we pray for all who are in need today. We pray for the homeless and for all who are anxious in these difficult times. And we pray particularly for those who are mourning the loss of a loved one today. In a moment of silence, we bring to God those who are known personally to us. Your kingdom is a kingdom of light and love, and so we pray for ourselves. Help us to be your light in our troubled world, and to share your love with all whom we meet. Guide us on our journey through life until we reach our rest in you. And so we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen.
Amen.
If I can just remind you that there will be a retiring collection. There's a basket by the door which is in aid of the Norwich Open Christmas, which I think will fulfil a great need this year. And so we sing our closing hymn, which reminds us of what all our URC churches try to be. Let us build a house where love can dwell.
Thank you.
Let us remain standing for our sending out and blessing. In the name of Christ, empowered by the Spirit to do greater things, let us go to bring good news to the poor, announce freedom to prisoners, give sight to the blind, and to liberate those who suffer. May our lives, in thought, word, and deed, be an offering of love and service to God and all whom God sends to us. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with each of you and those you remember this day who are near and distant from you, forevermore. Amen.